This time on episode 254 of Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., we'll be discussing Legion Chapter 17, the weekly Marvel news, and your feedback.
I'm Michelle from the Starling Tribune, a proud member of the Gundagik Network, just like the show you're listening to now. The opinions expressed are those of each individual host. Check out all the other podcasts at GundagikNetwork.com and get ready, because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
You have been granted clearance by Director Alfonso Mack McKenzie. Stand by for a S.H.I.E.L.D. debriefing. All information to be discussed here is classified and may only be discussed among agents granted clearance by the S.H.I.E.L.D. Director.
Now it's time for your scheduled debriefing. I'm Director SP.
I'm Agent Haley.
I'm Agent Lauren.
And I'm Consultant Michelle.
Welcome to Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. It's a Marvel Comic Universe fan show. The show is recorded on Sunday, September 16th, 2018, just 3 days before Talk Like a Pirate Day, live from the Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. studios and broadcast astroplane-wide via www.geeks.live. Ladies, happy National Play-Doh Day!
Yay!
When was the last time y'all played with Play-Doh?
A very, very long time.
Maybe like 2 years ago at one of my little cousin's birthday parties.
Just going to say a couple of years ago with my nephew. Yeah.
Yeah, it's been years. That stuff was fun.
Guys, let's go get Play-Doh.
Yeah, still fun. I bet you know, school supplies are still new in the store. You can get those multicolored sets and you can just make some really cool stuff.
Just don't eat it.
You can eat it. It's safe.
It is safe. It just tastes gross.
Maybe if you add sugar to it.
Just don't eat it.
Don't even try.
Okay, that is your weekly safety tip from Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D.
It's not so safety as it is just, it tastes gross.
It's just solid life advice. It's non-harmful. It's non-toxic because they know kids play with it and they're going to stick it in their mouth, but don't eat it.
Especially just like flour. You can make the essentially Play-Doh at home with like flour, water.
Yeah, I did that when I was a kid.
Yeah. It just tastes disgusting. So there's much more delicious things to eat. Like you can literally go to your pantry right now and grab anything and it's tastier than Play-Doh.
Well, it depends on what you have in your pantry.
Okay, good point.
Does it taste better than alcohol?
Depends what alcohol. Bailey's taste better than Play-Doh. I would argue that Jaeger does not.
See, there you go. Could be better than some types of alcohol. And that is your weekly Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. public service announcement. Anyway, Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is a fan-based podcast on the ABC television show Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., the multiple Marvel Netflix series, Legion on FX, as we're discussing today, the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and the Marvel comic book universes in general.
Because of electric octopodes.
If you'd like to talk to us about electric octopodes, you can visit our website at legendsofshield.com.
You can leave us a voicemail about electric octopodes at 844-THE-BUS-1. That's 844-843-2871.
You can find us on Facebook at Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. Podcast.
On Twitter, we are at Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D.
You can find our video companion shows on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/GunnaGeek.
You can tell your Amazon device to enable Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. skill.
And remember, Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is a proud member of the GunnaGeek.com network.
Indeed. Go over to GunnaGeek.com for a bunch of other great geeky shows. Ladies, we're talking about Legion Chapter 17 today. It aired on Tuesday, May 29th, 2018 on the Network FX. Or is it Network or Cable Channel FX?
I think you could still call it network.
Okay. On the FX network and earned a 0.362 rating, which is par for the course for this season. Now, Legion was renewed for a third season. We keep saying every episode on June 1st, 2018. So we will be getting another season of Legion, in which I'm hoping they will continue this great episode titling, which we'll talk about in a second. Now, Lauren, who directed this episode?
Noah Hawley directed the episode, and he is the showrunner for Legion, also the showrunner for the show Fargo. He has 4 directing credits starting in 2015, including 2 of Fargo, 2 of Legion. He also did Chapter 1. And he is rumored to direct the Doctor Doom movie. And he is doing Pale Blue Dot, which is in post-production.
Michelle, who wrote the episode?
Well, this episode was written by Noah Hawley, creator of the show. Again, he's written all of the chapters of this season. And joining him is the other co-creator of the show, Nathaniel Halpern.
All right, as I promised before I teased it, we're going to talk about the meaning of the title. And oftentimes the title depicts what is going on for the rest of the episode and kind of depicts the major themes of the episode. And Haley, I think this title is no different than anything else.
So this title, if you were to take every episode in the show and put them all together into one big story and then divide that up from season 1 and 2 into 19 parts and divide them up into chapters, then this would be the 17th of those chapters if you were to do something like that. So I think that's why they decided to call this one Chapter 17.
Huh. Had nothing to do with something 17-ish?
Not that I know of.
Not like 17 again, maybe?
Is that a movie?
Yeah. If you haven't checked it out, I mean, it's kind of like a kid's movie, but it has a lot of geeky stuff in it. So if you haven't checked out 17 again.
The one with Tia and Tamara Mowry on Disney Channel?
I don't know. I know it had, what's his name? Chandler from Friends on it.
I don't know if that's the one I'm thinking of.
Okay. Well, so it's nothing, anything like that. It's just simply dividing the amount of information into chapters like a book. Wow. Don't most books actually have titles for their chapters, too?
Not necessarily.
Okay. Well, I guess this is one of those TV shows that just doesn't have any information into it. Kind of a bummer, actually, if you ask me, but they didn't, so it's Chapter 17 it is. All right, Michelle, so a lot of stuff happened in this episode. It's a lot of setup, a lot of information, backstory, and a little bit of plot movement forward. So what did you think of this episode?
I liked it because it paid off a few things, especially from the first episode. First, we get a clarification that it's been 13 days since David arrived. I thought it was like a week, but it's actually 13 days. So the season kind of takes place almost over 2 weeks, which that was nice to actually see how long it's been. Again, this is kind of like the Melanie episode. We get a lot of the other stuff with David's plan, but we realize what's been going on with Melanie in her room while she's been getting high and dancing around.
Yeah, there was definitely a movement into the drugs. And I think it is important to describe that this is 13 days because time is so wishy-washy in this series that it's good to know that it's been about 2 weeks that all this has happened. And even the going back and looking at stuff actually is part of the time as you move forward. It's not just boom, 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 boom. I mean, stuff happens off camera. People eat, they go to sleep, they go shower, I assume, that sort of thing. Unless, I guess, if except you're European, do they shower in Europe? I don't know if they do.
Carrie yes. doesn't do nothing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they bathe. My goodness. I don't know if Melanie's bathing, no, because she's looking rough along the edges because she doesn't know. I mean, eventually it gets to the point where she doesn't know if she exists anymore. She's like, you know, I was focused saving on the world that I realized that there's no world to save. It's like, wow. And that whole theme of reality being a choice, she echoes that again. She tells Carrie, you could be Carrie's delusion or you could.
He could be your delusion.
Yeah. We get that again.
Yeah. If you have ever had a dissociative episode where you're like, nothing is real, I'm not real, that is very familiar. It's not fun.
I was beginning to think all that stuff just watching the episode. I'm like, maybe I'm not really watching the episode. I don't know.
There's this parable about the monk who dreamed. He's like, I dreamed that I was a butterfly, or maybe I'm a butterfly dreaming that I'm a monk. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that one, but.
Yeah, they mentioned that. And I think that was episode one of this season where they did that.
Yeah. I guess reality is what you make of it, but at the same time, sort of not really.
I guess Melanie ends up in an underground maze or something. Did I miss that? What happened there?
No. At the end of the episode, you see her ending up in an underground maze, which made me think of the first episode where it says there is a maze carved from sand and rock, vast labyrinth of pathways and corridors. You walk in, at the end of the maze is a prize just waiting to be discovered. All you have to do is find your way through. She is there. Next episode, you will get to see where she ends up. I don't want to spoil anything because the next two episodes, everything comes together. And that is all I'm going to say.
All right. Well, we also had a trip down Lenny's Lane, Lenore, as she's called. And she basically makes it back to her party house, for the lack of a better term.
Shooting gallery.
Yeah.
Okay, if you want to get graphic about it, shooting gallery. And she gets visited in her head. Is this head Amy, or is this actual Amy manifesting herself outside of Lenny's body? It was kind of weird, but...
It's head Amy.
All right, so it's head Amy, so it's Amy's consciousness within Lenny.
Yeah, she says, you can just give me my body back, and Lenny's like, you know what? This wasn't my fault. I really don't know how to do this. It's a great moment. I feel
bad, but not that bad.
Yeah. I'm not the best. I'm not the worst.
Anybody who's ever hung out with junkies, I don't recommend it, first of all. Not great company. But yeah, the whole just sort of aimless thing going on there and just trying to like drown out reality.
Okay, so I had a little bit of a question from that whole sequence. Was the guy who was in the house, was that Dan Stevens? Is that the guy that plays David?
I don't think so.
I thought his voice did sound similar, though.
I don't think so. I thought it was somebody.
Now I gotta look.
Yeah, because the voice, especially at the end of the time there, it sounded just like a modified version of David's voice. I don't know if that was intentional or not, or it could have been Stevens himself. I don't know. I figured one of you might know.
That actor is Alex Knight.
Okay.
Character's name is Squirrel. I have a friend whose nickname is Squirrel.
Okay.
Oh, he had a guest appearance on Last Week Tonight with John Oliver as Agent Knight in the Border Patrol episode. He's been in a lot.
Oh.
Mostly bit parts.
Okay. How many IMDb credits does he have?
50 credits as an actor.
Okay.
One credit is camera and electrical department. One is producer. One is thanks.
So it is fair to say that he was not chosen as a double for David Holler.
No, I didn't think so.
Oh, hey, he was Clive on Preacher.
Okay.
Okay, guys, I just this second realized that Oliver is played by Jermaine Clement.
We've been talking about it for 2 years.
Oh my God.
I the beard threw me. It's deceived me for 2 years.
We've had the main cast list in the show notes.
Yeah, but like the list of names does nothing for me. But like I was just looking at IMDb and I was like, oh.
Flight of the Conchords, Despicable Me, Moana. Men in Black 3, the Lego Batman. Yes, that is Jermaine Clement. Wow. Okay, welcome to the podcast, Haley.
Come on.
What if we talked about this Legion show?
So Lenny actually is known as Cornflake Girl, which I thought was interesting. We haven't heard her nickname as Cornflake Girl.
The song from Tori Amos.
Okay.
It's a really good song.
Okay. Cornflake Girl is the name of the song?
Yes, it's called Cornflake Girl. It's from 1994.
Oh, yeah, of course, the time in my life where I wasn't aware of just about anything.
Yeah, the inspiration for Cornflake Girl came from a conversation she was having with a longtime friend about female genital mutilation in Africa, specifically how a close female family member would betray the victim by performing the procedure. Amos has said that growing up, the name they gave to the girls who would hurt you despite the close friendship was Cornflake Girls.
Interesting take. There was also some other songs in this sequence, right?
Yeah, I looked it up because the songs with Melanie is called The Castle by the Flaming Lips. And if you listen to that, it's like her mind's the castle and somewhere inside there is still love. It's actually very appropriate for Melanie. But with Lenny, when she goes back, it's Space is Only Noise If You Can See by Nicholas Jar. Of course, Kick Out the Jams by MC5 when they're partying. And then when she gets in the car and it teleports, it's Destroyer by The Kink. So again, very specific song choices, really interesting song choices, but they fit.
So sort of a Guardians of the Galaxy soundtrack sort of thing where it's cool and they fit.
More than that, you have to understand, like, The Castle, if you listen to that, it really underscores like the themes of Melanie and helps actually explain what's going on in her head.
Okay. So songs very pointed, and we've been talking about the soundtrack overall for this series for quite some time. It is a piece, it is a masterpiece, really, when you get down to it. Even when they choose no sound at all, remember those episodes where you didn't have any sound at all? It was good. And I think a little bit of that can be seen in Walking Dead from time to time, but I think this does it a lot better than Walking Dead as far as that. And full disclosure, I haven't seen Walking Dead in a couple of years, but I do remember it being very pointed at what music that they played when, kind of depicting the whole zombie apocalypse sort of thing. And in here, you've got all sorts of comic book stuff going on, and I think they do a good job of it. We also have a little bit of Carrie and Carrie Loudermilk, Carrie with a C being the older guy and Carrie with a K being the younger female. And they're actually acting out David's plan. So let's talk about this for a little bit. David, in last episode, has injected his thoughts as plans to a bunch of people within D3. And they are enacting it in this episode. And we saw a little bit of Clark last time, and he was stopped by Melanie, but we didn't see what happened with Carrie and Carrie. Now, they get this weapon from some sort of a locker, and then they take it, they drive it, they deliver it to, as it turns out, to be Lenny. Lenny gets in the car, and the car disappears. But let's talk about Carrie and Carrie. They are exploring their relationship, exploring the fact that Carrie is going to die at some point in time. Carrie with a C says that I'm going to stab death in the heart and make sure that doesn't happen, which is...
Carrie with a K says that.
Oh, yes. Carrie with a K does.
Like a billion times or like six times, something like that.
Yeah, stab him twice before he gets to you.
Yeah, that's it. And Carrie with a C is like, that's really implausible, but very sweet.
So they've kind of moved forward from the fact that their joining is different now and that Carrie with a K is eventually getting ordered. So I'm really enjoying what they're doing with this relationship. Haley, what do you think about this relationship and how it's progressed throughout the series?
I mean, I've always really enjoyed the relationship between the Carries. It was something we talked about last season. I really like seeing Carrie with a K outside of Carrie and having to deal with everyday life things that she's not used to being the one to deal with. And I think we're seeing a lot of growth in her character this season because she's having to deal with those things on her own.
I felt a little sad that she couldn't get her cream soda.
I always feel sad when you can't get a cream soda.
I think it's interesting. She does not understand sayings or like idioms. Like when he says, you know, time in your hands, and she looks at her hands and such. And he says, you can be alone in a crowd. And she's just like, no, you have people around. You're not alone. And he says to her, you know, when I die, I'm afraid you're going to be alone like Melanie. And she's like, well, Melanie's not alone. We know Melanie has all of us. She doesn't understand that yet.
And at the end, we do get the transport of Lenny from wherever she was in the car to Le Desolée.
Yeah.
So she's there. I'm assuming that's where she went because it wouldn't make no sense for her to go somewhere else. The car catches on fire. She remembers to take whatever it is in the trunk. We do see her with a weapon later, so maybe there's a weapon in the case. And she is now on her way to do whatever the plan was. So I think just about everything is set in motion. I think that we don't have the blanks fully filled in because Clark has been knocked out sort of thing, but I think the chessboard has been set.
I have a question real quick before we go too far. So they grabbed this weapon out of the closet of things at the headquarters. Did anybody freeze frame to see what else was in that closet?
No.
No, I just know that's the same closet that Oliver took the skin grafting manipulator thing from.
Okay.
So it's their locker of holding of
dangerous weapons.
Dangerous weapons, yeah.
We could just call it the locker of holding, and then it sounds very D&D.
Yeah, I like it. It's where they keep all their doomsday machines.
Yeah.
Sounds good to me. I actually named something that was good. Okay. Do any of you have anything else that you'd like to bring up with the episode, Michelle?
Next episode, keep in mind, like before you watch it, all of the things Sid thinks has been true with David. So over the whole course of the season, Sydney thinks certain things about David. All that comes together next episode. So all these little bits and pieces kind of think about before you watch the episode. And that's all I'm going to say.
I'll just bring up again the fact we didn't talk extensively about it, but the whole Oliver and Melanie mind melds or whatever that was going on in this episode. I mean, we even go back to the ice cube for a brief second. We see that. I don't know if that was shot again or if that was just footage from last year. But we also have Melanie by the pool. And this was the prison within Farouk's mind, basically, that he keeps both Oliver and then he kept Lenny in as well. So I thought it was interesting that she was there. And maybe this depicts that she is not in full control. Like Oliver and Melanie aren't actually able to work against Farouk because she's within Farouk's control.
Basically.
Okay.
I mean, Oliver seduces her. He romances her again. In last episode, he says, you know, she's mine. Well, ours. And it's true. If you are at Farouk's pool, you are under his influence and you are technically working with him, or he's making you work for him. So yes. And I thought it was really interesting that she goes in as her younger self. She comes out and that whole scene flips upside down and then you get the credits upside down.
Yes.
I thought that was awesome.
Yeah. You had to read Legion backwards and upside down. That was pretty cool. They've done some weird things with credits this season. Like they didn't do the credits until almost the end. I forget if that was last episode or the episode before, and they've done this.
The episode before. Yeah.
So this has just been a really artful, full season.
One other thing in the shooting gallery, I don't remember if it was just new Janine or if other people did it, but several times Lenny was called King.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's also, called Queen and referred to as royalty. Yeah.
Yeah, but King specifically brought back, you know, the Shadow King.
Right. And we did see Angry Boy, which was a part of that whole thing within David's mind.
I was not expecting to see the Angry Boy again. That freaked me out.
I know.
It's, ugh, no thanks. Michelle, I won't have you tell us if we see Angry Boy again or not, because I would prefer not to know.
Yeah, I would prefer to be scared out of my mind again when that happens. I am not joking.
Anything else, Haley, on the episode?
I don't think so.
Lauren?
You brought up Melanie in the pool, which is what I wanted to bring up.
Okay. Any specific things about Melanie in the pool that you...
No, just that I'd been wondering since we saw random woman in the pool, who was that? And now we know. I just feel really sad for Melanie.
Yeah, her montage brought up a bunch of stuff. Like, she had been waiting for him.
She had this sense of purpose, and she had this drive, and now it's just, it's gone, and she's lost. And it's that whole, one of the reasons that people use drugs is because they need something that's better than the outside world. So, for her, she's found some place. She just wants to forget the reality of the situation. And it's incredibly sad seeing our Professor X figure from season one. And now she's sad. She's lost.
It'll be interesting to see if she comes out of this either stronger or broken or what happens. So we know we get another season. So I don't know if she's going to be around for the next season or not. So next two episodes will be sporty. I believe that wraps up our discussion of chapter 17. Next Sunday, we will be talking about chapter 18, which is the 10th episode of the second season. In the meantime, Michelle, there's a lot of other great content out there on the Gonna Geek Network, isn't there?
Yes, there's over 20 shows. One of them is Better Podcasting. In episode 146, they discuss 10 years of podcasting. In this week's Better Podcasting, SP interviews Steven about his 10 years of podcasting. Steven discusses highlights, lowlights, and a whole bunch of other random facts about his podcast adventures. Again, that's Better Podcasting, episode 146.
What we're starting off with isn't even news yet. It's teasing out news that will come in the future or the past, depending on when you listen to this. But the Captain Marvel trailer will be premiering on Tuesday on Good Morning America.
I'm excited. I'm so excited.
Yeah, if you hear a scream coming from like the Arizona area sometime on Tuesday, that's what it is.
Do we have a time during the Good Morning America broadcast?
8 and 9 a.m. Eastern. So do the math.
Well, between 8 and 9.
Yeah.
So sometime in there, which so like I'm going to be watching Good Morning America on Tuesday.
No, I'm not going to do that because I'm probably going to be asleep. So I'm going to, as soon as I wake up, I'm going to check Twitter and I'm going to find it and I'm going to scream.
Yeah. I'm sure it's going to pop up on my YouTube. Like my YouTube knows what's up. It knows what I want.
And the article on the movie in Entertainment Weekly was awesome.
Yeah, we'll talk about that a little bit later.
So next up, Game of Thrones star Kit Harington, who plays Jon Snow, who knows nothing, called out Marvel over its lack of gay actors.
So I guess he does know something.
Yeah.
He says, there's a big problem with masculinity and homosexuality that they can't somehow go hand in hand. He was talking to Variety. That we can't have someone in a Marvel movie who's gay in real life and plays some superhero. I mean, when is that going to happen? And yeah, it's true. We have Tessa Thompson, who has, I think, come out as bi and who was pushing for Valkyrie to have actual bi representation on film.
Right. For it to be more explicitly stated in the movie.
But it was cut from Thor Ragnarok despite her pushing and despite, I think, Taika Waititi's pushing. And other than that, there has been very little actual either on-screen representation or actual in the casting out gay, bi, trans actors. And that kind of goes for like all major franchises, really.
With the exception of the DC television.
Yes.
Which has done a very good job. And to his point about actors and masculinity, even when we do see gay characters, we're more likely to see female gay characters in a movie than male gay characters.
Yeah, there's a whole school of thought about why that is and because what's threatening, what's not, and because of who the movie is pandering to. That's neither here nor there for this podcast.
Yes, I could go on a very long rant about this that is not really related. I mean, it is related to this podcast, but it's a longer rant than you want in the news section, I'm sure. Yeah,
it's a really long rant. Ask us about it on Twitter if you want to know, on Twitter or Facebook. The point remains that when it comes to the big name tentpole movies, in this point, Marvel has been called out, but it kind of remains for other movies too. It's kind of assumed, oh, if you're gay, you play gay characters, where that's not necessarily the case. If straight people can play gay characters, why can't gay people play straight characters or just any character ever? It's called acting.
Acting. I mean, even in its television, the stuff that's put out by Marvel Studios, I can't think of a major gay character in the Marvel television.
In the Hulu Runaways show.
Yes.
Yeah, we have them. We have Carolina and Nico.
Yeah.
Carolina, gay. Nico's bisexual.
In all the shows, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Agent Carter, Inhumans, the Fox series.
Well, if we're accepting my headcanon, then Agent Carter does, but I don't think we are.
Yeah.
Yeah. And even Cloak and Dagger didn't.
Yeah. It's so frustrating. It's 28.
Wow. Oh my gosh. Even the outlying ones. Good grief. We had to go all the way to Runaways.
Yeah. Yeah.
We had like a gay minor character on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. with that one melty guy who then like left after two episodes.
Right.
And that's it.
Yeah. DC television, much better.
Yeah. Even DC movies. Flash is played by an out bisexual actor, Ezra Miller.
Mm-hmm.
And then Amber Heard is out bisexual and she's playing Mira.
You take a look at the Marvel Comics and finding a gay character is difficult as well. There are a few, but...
Oh, there's a lot more in the comics. Yeah. Iceman is out, is an out gay character.
Right, but then his series was canceled.
Right. Yeah. Well, like Northstar is one of the most iconic gay comic book characters, and that's in Marvel.
Yep.
Does he even have a current issue, though? A series?
I have no idea.
I don't think so.
That was my point. How many active gay characters are there in Marvel series comic books? I can't think of too many that I read on a regular basis. So, I don't know.
But even so, if you're doing a comic book movie,
I think. Bucky Barnes right now was confirmed as bisexual by the writer who's currently writing him.
But even if you're doing, you know, a comic book show or a comic book movie, it doesn't have to be the comic book super. Pansexual. Who?
Sorry. Deadpool, pansexual.
That's right. but it doesn't have to be the main superhero even that is your character that is gay or whatever. But like, there's so much supporting cast on these shows. And nobody?
Strong supporting cast.
Yeah.
Deadpool 2 did have...
Yeah, but that's not Marvel Studios.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. That's Foxed.
And it's just... Come on, guys. Law of numbers. Law of averages.
Because, like, we're watching Legion right now. And we've got representation.
Plenty.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, guys. Played by Aubrey Plaza, who is out bisexual. And she's playing Lenny as kind of androgynous.
Yeah. I can't remember if The Gifted. I don't think they did.
I don't really think they've had time because the first season was very much them on the road. I mean, there's one obvious heterosexual couple because Polaris is pregnant. And of course, the parents, but they really haven't.
Well, and then there was a very heterosexual love triangle as well.
Yeah, with the daughter. But otherwise, they really haven't. Yeah, a lot of them are heterosexual because Blink and what's his name? Yeah, so far they're all heterosexual in The Gifted.
So that was us not going on a long rant about that because, like I said, we could go on much longer. But since we're talking about the X-Men side of the Marvel Universe, New Mutants is getting more reshoots to make it more horror.
So remember how New Mutants was supposed to have been out in like February?
Yeah, remember when we all went and watched it?
Then it was supposed to be out in April or something.
Then it was supposed to be out in like November, and now it's supposed to be out next year. So Anya Taylor-Joy, who is playing Ileana Rasputin, Magic, said that she isn't worried about the reshoots being done on New Mutants because they are trying to get it to be a much more horror R-rated movie. Reshoots have become increasingly common on blockbuster movies. But certain situations warrant concern. In this case, the movie's being reportedly being retooled and Warlock is going to be introduced. Warlock, that's who they're introducing? Okay, on the one hand, I do love Warlock. And on the other hand, come on, add Karma. She was one of the original founding New Mutants and she is gay. Oh my God.
I think actually we've had this conversation before. I remember the exact same conversation. Because it's horror, I'm not a big horror fan. I will not be watching this, but I'll be interested to hear how it all pans out, especially after the multiple setbacks and reshoots. I can only hope that they're doing this to make it really good. But
also, Warlock makes no sense without Cypher. I'm just going to throw that in there.
Yeah, it seems as though, like I read the article, they're shooting the original script everybody liked with the horror elements and stuff. So it's not so much, I think, a reshoot. It's let's film the movie we actually signed on to do.
Which is honestly a good thing. One of my favorite podcasts is We Hate Movies. Another one is How Did This Get Made? They talk about bad movies. And one of the ways that bad movies happen is people, like, you watch a movie with a fantastic cast and it's a terrible movie and you're like, how did this happen? They signed on to do an amazing script. And then somewhere along the way, somebody was like, let's try something else. And rewrites are being done like as they're filming. So if they sign on to do the original script, if they are doing the original script that they all signed on to do, that could be really good. But on the other hand, Warlock, really?
And I remember an article we talked about where they didn't have money for Warlock.
Yeah.
Where did they get the money?
Warlock is not a magical character. Warlock is from an alien race. They are like a techno-organic alien race. And just, you guys, Karma would have been a much better choice, I think. Anyway, I say without having read the script or seen the movie, but just because I love Karma as a character. Anyway.
All right. So a little bit more from the X-Men part of the universe. Fan Bing Bing, Blink from X-Men Days of Future Past, has disappeared amidst China's culture crackdown.
I recently found out she was also in Iron Man 3, but only in the Chinese release.
Huh.
Yeah. So this has been kind of a rumor for a while that she might have done some tax evasion in China. She dropped off the radar in June when rumors started to swirl. She was involved in a probe into tax evasion in the film industry. And Reuters has been unable to get a hold of her. And there's this whole thing that's been going on. The film industry in China has been growing by leaps and bounds in the past few years. And Fan Bing Bing, a lot of people are calling her China's equivalent of Jennifer Lawrence. And there's a culture cleanup that's been going on in China, snaring video games, online bloggers, rap artists. State-run media have begun to use phrases such as tainted artist, with official bodies pledging to ban stars who behave badly, including drug-taking, gambling, or visiting prostitutes. An open letter earlier this month from members of the Beijing Trade Association for Performances said the body would purify the city's entertainment and performance sector and guide artists towards core socialist values. When people talk about censorship, that censorship, when people are like actually saying this is what you can and cannot use, when the government is telling you this is what you can and cannot use in your art, and the fact that she is not responding to stuff is pretty worrisome. I think this is something that's worth keeping an eye on, whether or not you are invested in Fan Bing Bing's career.
That sounds really scary.
There are multiple news outlets that have been reporting and trying to get additional information as well. So this is not just Reuters reporting this.
Yeah. Also, in a strange coincidence, today is her birthday.
Oh, happy birthday, Fan Bing Bing. I've been following this via some gossip sites since this was first reported in about June. It's kind of scary, very scary, and worrisome. And I'm pretty sure we're banned in China.
Yes.
I don't know. I don't think we have any listeners in China.
I don't know. I'll have to look.
If anybody could tell us more from the ground there, that would be cool. But if not, I understand.
So wait a minute. If we're banned in China, that means people would be listening to this podcast illegally.
Yes.
Which would be cool. But if you are, stay safe.
Which would mean I am not totally wrong, going back to something I said many podcasts ago.
Illegally download this podcast.
Yes.
Oh my God, I forgot about that.
We have,
I did not,
37 Chinese listeners.
Hey guys, safe. How's it going?
Be safe.
Guys.
All right. If you are in China and you are listening to this, somehow get us a message in a bottle and let us know how it's going.
Well, first, it's our 5-year Twitterversary.
Yay! I opened up Twitter this morning and there was that message there that said, it's your 5-year Twitterversary. And I'm like, I have to put this in the thing.
Yay us!
Yay us!
All right. So we do have a lot of Twitter feedback. So first, the operator retweeted MovieWeb.
Okay. This was not actually directed to us, but the conversation is great. The operator said, please let this be true. And from MovieWeb, young Agent Coulson is obsessed with MC Hammer and Captain Marvel. MovieWeb, for those who don't know, is kind of like the Onion of movie news. So this is not true. But then Mr. Paraclete said, makes sense with what happened on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Finally, hashtag it's all connected. To which Adadonna Girl said, Mac will be so pleased. And then Mr. Paraclete answered with, now that I think about it, with this being the case, I'm disappointed he never dropped a stop hammer time in either Thor or Avengers. And honestly, I'm a little disappointed too.
And at Mr. Paraclete shared a video.
Yes. So it's a video. And his response was, hey, Quill, your den's going to need some new flooring.
Oh, no, you got to say it like this. Hey, Quill, your den's going to need some new flooring.
Have you seen this video?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh my God. Okay. So first of all, I love raccoons. Second of all, I love fat raccoons. So this is a very fat raccoon who is sort of moving up the flooring in his little room and just kind of lying on the floor. And it is so cute. And he has a little toy stuffed seal and it's adorable. Guys, just follow this account. It's at raccoons.
Are we sure that the raccoon isn't from Guardians of the Galaxy? Are we sure?
He might be like a cousin of Rocket, but if it's Rocket, he's really let himself go, which is fine. I mean, he could be retired, not running around all the time, hauling big guns. I mean, God knows I gained a lot of weight once I was no longer running around a football field all day with a flagpole. But, oh my God, he's so round. He's so round. I love fat raccoons so much.
I still can't believe people keep raccoons as a pet.
Yeah.
Let me say, do not keep raccoons as pets. They are very destructive. They have little people hands, and they will use those to destroy everything you own.
Yes.
Also, depending on where you live, you might need a special wildlife permit to own them or to, well, keep them in your house. You can't really own a raccoon.
And it seems at StarSaber underscore 222 found something.
He said, finally found it. And he finally found the Captain Marvel Entertainment Weekly. There's a picture of it there in the wild, looking amazing.
So, Michelle, you were commenting earlier on it was an amazing article. Have you read this?
Yeah.
And is it worth picking up?
It is worth picking up. It's a really good look at the production of it and kind of like what's going on. It gives a basic description of the characters that you'll meet without giving plot away. So it's really a nice informative article without being spoiled.
Good to hear. Besides, the cover is Captain Marvel, so you can't go wrong with that. I'm really excited for this movie, guys.
Me too.
This will probably be one of the only Marvel movies, it'll depend on what's going on at work and stuff, that I see opening night. Might actually get tickets for opening night. We'll see about that. And I have heard that all of my theaters here locally have now transitioned to the reclining seats, whether you pick the seat or not. So I'm looking forward to this. Right. Meantime, we're going to glowy green light transport this one out. Thank you very much for listening to this show. We have two more episodes of Legion, then we'll start off with the Punisher. So if you have any thoughts on Punisher, please let us know. We'll be talking about that next.
Thank you everyone that listens and reaches out to leave us feedback and share exciting things they see out in the world that they think we might find interesting.
Thank you so much to everybody who listens. Thank you all for letting us know that we aren't just screaming into a void about our Marvel stuff every week.
Yes, thank you everyone who listens and those who might be illegally downloading this. Please be safe.
You feel so vindicated, don't you?
Yes, I do. You made fun of me for weeks.
Because it was funny.
Yes, I know. And now that I learned that I could be correct, yes, I am going to mention it and I'm going to rub it in all your faces.
Well, we could be being downloaded by the Chinese government in an effort to proactively censor us, too.
Aw.
Well, that. Oh!
And with that, we are going to go into the post show. So until next time, I'm Director SP.
I'm Agent Haley.
I'm Agent Lauren.
Former consultant Michelle.
See you next week. Maybe not Michelle. Bye.
Bye. Sorry.
Thank you for listening. If you want to leave us feedback, go to gunnageek.com and you will find all our contact information and other shows. You can also visit legendsofshield.com where you'll find our complete archive of podcasts. The music heard on this podcast is by Kevin McLeod, found at incompetech.com and also artists on pond5.com and audiojungle.net. The opinions heard on this podcast are those of the individual hosts and do not represent Stargate Pioneer Productions, Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., or Gunna Geek. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is the property of the Disney Corporation, Marvel Studios, and ABC. No infringement is intended.
Should do it. Anyway, the new thing that I'm going to try is we are going to stream our audio live via Periscope to Twitter.
Oh, hey.
So I've tried this for the past week. It has been mostly fail, but we were able to get it going for Starling Tribune last week, which reminds me, I need to write a post. So we're going to try it, see if it works.
Okie dokie.
Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. Should do it. Anyway, the new thing that I'm going to try is we are going to stream our audio live via Periscope to Twitter.
Oh, hey.
So I've tried this for the past week. It has been mostly fail, but we were able to get it going for Starling Tribune last week, which reminds me, I need to write a post. So we're going to try it, see if it works.
Okie dokie.
Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. All right, we had 19 live views on Periscope.
Ooh. So somebody heard the...
Yeah.
Actually, the most viewers we had was at the end, so, yeah. That's going to be great, because people are going to be replaying that. Broadcast and Michelle have been successfully terminated.
Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is copyright 2018.